Genesis 2, verse 18. There'll be a family meeting for you if you'd like to use the nursery this morning. I'll assure you, children have been in good hands. The Bible reads and said, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. I've noticed the Bible had to say that the Lord God said. He knows what He's talking about. A lot of times me and you get confused about the situation, but the God I preach about is never confused. He knows what's best. He said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him," there's a word, "help me for him." Now, we had been dealing about the garden life. We had seen that God had made a marriage in this thing called a garden. And a lot of times in the day and hour we live, marriage is everything but a garden life. I mean, we live in a time of where it's gotten very busy and very complicated. God said that when He placed man and woman in the garden, He brought them together. We've seen the place of marriage. It was in a garden place. And I just want to ask you this simple question today. Is the place that you married, is it really a garden place, or is it an awful place? It was a guided place. God put man in that garden. And it was to be a guarded place. We dealt with a man as to guard his home, as God guides that home. Man, I am convinced today that it is our place to guard our home. And we've seen the place of marriage. Then we've seen the providence of marriage. God is a God of providence. Then we've seen the pain of marriage, the pain of creation. You see, man was taken from the dust of the earth, but the lady was taken from the rib of man. We've seen this pain of marriage. There is times that marriage will be a pain. It's a pain of creation. We're different. Man and woman is different. And I still believe that God designed marriage for Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. You can say that it's hate all you want, but God is against homosexuality. And God is still the God of doing right in the day that we live, in the day that we operate. It is not an accepted lifestyle. God made man and woman for a reason. Therefore, we find a lot of times there is a pain of marriage. Man, I'm going to tell you, she's different than you. She ought not be your buddy. She ought to be your wife. Amen? I am convinced this pain of marriage, you'll find there is the pain of creation. She's different. Lady, I'm going to tell you something else. He's different. Turn around there and look at him and say, "You're different." Well, you ought to be different. God made us to be different people, individuals. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but God's not in the cookie-cutting business. We live in a world that a cookie-cutter lifestyle. God's not that kind of God. God made individuals. We're all different. We have different flavor. Thank God they all ain't like you. Thank God they all ain't like me. Thank the Lord. Somebody try to say, "Thank God they all ain't like me." Pain of creation. And then
we've seen there's the pain of coexistence now. There's not one, but there's two in this thing of marriage.
Didn't understand why sometimes she didn't want me to go bird hunting or fishing or golf. Now I had to take somebody else in consideration. Brother David, would you put us some air on, brother? It's getting hot in here. Pain of coexistence, you will find out that she was brought to his side. She was made from under your arm to be protected. Hey, you ought to get you some guts and stand up for what's right and quit being a wimp. Get some guts about you and protect your wife, protect your home. She is brought by out of his side. I want to remind you that she was not made to be over the head. She was not made from his feet to be stood upon and trampled upon, but by his side to love her. Husbands, we ought to love our wives as Christ have loved the church. One of the most biggest and amazing verses in my Bible. I'm instructed and challenged to love my wife as Christ has loved me. What a mouthful. You say, preacher, I wish you'd hurt and get off these men, get off these women. Well, if you wasn't so hard-headed, I could move on and get to preaching on something a little easier. The pain of marriage, the pain of creation, the pain of coexistence. Then there's the pain of change. Oh, when we're married and we come together, we're creatures of habit. And this pain of change is always challenging.
Yeah, the honeymoon's going to be over. That's the real world.
It all ain't Gatlinburg. Yeah, man. You're going to realize there's going to be a pain of change. Things going to change down your house. That's what's wrong with our young couples now. They think, well, everything's just like a storybook. But you're going to meet the things that's in the real world. You're going to find out some things about you and some things about him that you don't like. At least I have in nearly 27 years. Thank God I've got a wife this morning that has stood the test of time. We've had our ups and our downs. We've had our doubts and our discouragements. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you what we had to figure out. We wanted to be together more than we wanted to be apart. At the end of the day, that's where it all hits the road. Because there's none good. No, not one. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So we've seen this pain of marriage. It's a pain of creation. We're different. A pain of coexistence. Pain of change. And I talk about it as a pain of challenge. The Lord brought her unto him. Now what you going to do? Bad boy, bad boy. And the pain of commitment. I'm convinced that young people know much anymore about this thing of commitment. Commitments of the home. Commitments of one another. What about commitments to them little old children? Pain of commitment. So that was the marriage of the garden. Then secondly this morning, I want to deal with the mate of the garden. You'll see in verse 18, the plan of the woman. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. And that hadn't changed either. We lonely creatures. Thank God for my wife. He said, it's not good you be alone. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this maid of the garden. You'll see It was a planned out thing, the plan of the woman. I want to say in verse 18, it was heaven's plan. You see, Eve was in the mind of God long before she was in the arms of Adam. Boy, in the mind of God, He had my wife in her mind before she was in my arms. The plan of the garden. We see the plan of this woman. It was heaven's plan. Verse 18, it was a humbling plan. Adam didn't know what he needed. Isn't that right? God said, it's not good for you to be alone. Now I'm convinced we don't even know what we need. You say, well, preacher, I see that you're downtrodden. What do you need? Only the Lord knows. Preacher, I want to come get some advice for my home. Oh, I can probably give you some, but at the end of the day, only the Lord knows. The plan of this woman, it was heaven's plan. It was a humbling plan. And it was a, verse 21, a hushed plan. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and he slept. Took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. It was a hushed plan. Adam had nothing to do with it. I'm convinced of this. If you run out yonder and find you a beer joint woman, you're going to get you a beer joint wife. Amen. There's so many folks so busy running, looking under every bush and every tree. Just go to sleep and let God center in your life. I'll never forget, I had a knock on my door one time at the plant. There stood this big black fella, about 6'8". He said, I understand you's a preacher. I said, that's right. He said, well, I want to ask you something. He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, okay, I'd be glad to pray for you. What you want me to pray for you about? He said, I need a wife. I said, well, that's definitely something to pray about. I said, my marriage has went bad. He said, I've been looking everywhere. He said, I go every place and I'm looking for me a wife. I said, have you ever thought about how Adam got a wife? He said, no. I said, the Bible said that he went to sleep and the Lord sent him one. And he said, Lord. He said, ooh, preacher, the Lord done spoke to me. Can I tell you this morning that it was a hushed plan? And a lot of times when we think that we know exactly what we need, we don't know what we need. But the Lord knows. Turn around there and tell somebody, said, He knows what we need. Plan of the woman. Secondly, the price of the woman. In verse 18, you'll find the price of making. It was a painful process. Wives, I'm going to tell you this morning, and while God is making you a wife, it's going to be a painful process. What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, I'm telling you. You ladies that God's making a wife out of, it will be a painful process. It costs somebody something to get her here. It's cost a lot of things to get you to where you are this morning. We got some of the choicest godly women in this part of the country, and it didn't come cheap. You see, good things always come with price. Don't let nobody fool you in these half price sales. You do get what you pay for. They'll mark a $50 sofa up to $1,000. put 500 on it to make you think you got a bargain, and you come home and sit on it a while. Before long, it ain't what you thought it was. So I'm telling you, better watch these half-price deals. Nothing comes easy in this life or the next life. This morning we see the price of this maid. It was a great price. And ladies, let me tell you something. God thinks a whole lot out of you. He loves you. We see the price of the making. It was a painful process. Then verse 22, you'll see the price of matching. The Bible said, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, the price of the woman, the price of making, the price of matching. Oh, God is a great matchmaker. He brought her unto the man. And then, not only the price of making and matching, but the price of marriage, verse 23, 25. Here's the first time in the Bible you will ever see a marriage taking place. Look what he says. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone." Never understood why a man want to hit his wife. He must be some kind of dummy. Sit around us smacking yourself. Why, you belong in a nut house. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Can I say something right there, mom and daddies? You better be putting your marriage in front of your children because they're going to walk out on you one of these days and you're going to be left there with nothing. You better quit living for your youngins and go to be a living with each other and the Lord. That big old house we built is getting empty, Brother Gerald. What are you talking about? I reckon we built a thing like that's going to stay there forever, but they ain't. Now I got that big old house. I say, "Miss Renee, where are you at? Are you here, me and Macy? I lost her this morning. Where's your mama? Well, I don't know where she's at. Went to hollering, Mama, Mama, Mom." What you talking about? I'm talking about you better be living with each other. Get some things settled because them babies going to leave the nest they're supposed to. So he said, "They shall cleave." There's a word that America's thrown down in the ditch bank. "Cleave unto his wife," and here it is, "they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And that's the way it's supposed to be after the marriage. But it's still supposed to be a shame before the marriage. Young people, I'll tell you what safe sex is. Abstinence. I'm sorry, but nobody's critiqued my sermon this morning. But I'm going to tell you, if you young ladies are not careful, you'll be in a hospital bed, eat up with AIDS. You young boys, you'll be wishing the Lord of heaven you'd listen to the preacher. God has designed marriage to be wholesome and pure. Now we live in a lifestyle. It's just nothing sacred. But let me tell you, the Bible says the marriage is sacred. Amen. Some of you look at the floor, you ought to look at the floor. Yeah, but you've not scared me this morning. I'm not your little puppet on a string. I'm not your little heel hound. I'm telling you, God still has standards. Adultery is still adultery, and it's wrong. Don't care who you are or where you sit. It's still wrong. Let me ask you this, for your pastor, is it wrong for me to have a girlfriend on the side? Then it's wrong for you to have one on the side. Babies need a home. Little couple come in the other day at the plant and said, "Boy, I wish you would marry us." I said, "You need to get married and quit shacking up." I just got third gear. Hey, what you talking about? Our country's gone to the dogs. I won't come back. You can leave now. Door swings both ways. Ain't no padlock on that thing. I'm not compromising just to make you feel good. I'm not compromised. I'd rather for folks to be here in love with God and have a place to sit than to make them sit at you in the balcony. I felt it yesterday going to break out on me, Miss Blow. I felt it. I've been nice way too long. They think the average preacher now is just there to pet the babies and pacify and pass out pampers and pablum. Get right with God. Get right with God. Living like a dog. You not to act like you've never heard no preaching. Well, you slap me in the face. All the preaching I've preached here for 12 years. You act like God's standards are not God's standards no more. These things we ought to be ashamed of around here. Whether your house or my house, we all stand even at the foot of the cross. Are you to love people? Yes, sir, you're to love people. But you're not to love their sin. He said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." We ought to be separate people. We ought to look different from the world. We ought to act different from the world. People look at me, ought not be some kind of hellion out of rebellion. I ought to look like a Christian, act like a Christian, and dress like a Christian. Kerfoot, hair lips grandpa this morning. I ain't got to stand before you. I'm standing before God judgment day of what I preached and how I preached. Well, the church don't love me. Yeah, they love. They don't like your little pet sin. Go on down yonder to church down the street. They won't tell you about it. They'll tell you how sweet you are and how kind. What a wonderful membership drive we're having. We ain't in no membership drive. We're called out ones, the born again of the grace of God, in love with Christ and standing in the old ways. Maybe we built it too big. We can go back to a storefront, can't we, Brother David? Well, what you saying? I don't know if that rabbit jumped up and I shot him. I'm telling you this morning, we better get back to what God said the marriage and the home was. Same-sex marriage is out of hell this morning. You hear me? It's out of hell. Care what you say or what you think. This is the final authority at the end of the sermon. Price of marriage. It's a great price. Brother Ken, 27 years and you just want to walk out? Why, sure. Just throw my hands down and quit. I mean, really, you've been married over 3 or 4 years. Ain't it been times that you just want to say, "Oh, what's the use?" And the devil say, "Oh, well, you just ought to walk out of that thing. It's easy to." It is easy to. Little old spineless boys walk an aisle and tell a girl that they love them forever. and some little hussy come by and steal his heart. You know why I'm telling it right. Well, she looked better than my wife. Oh. Round two. Here we go. You don't look like Tarzan yourself. And I noticed that deodorant you reached to grab this morning's wearing off you too. You ain't near as pretty and charming as you think.
I just go get me a new wife. A young woman.
That's just what you need. Tell you what you need. You need the grace of God to allow you to stay with that wonderful thing He's done give you. I'm a feeling better, Brother David. I done got thinking I was too scared to preach myself. Y'all visitors, come back. There'll be plenty of room for you to sit next Sunday. The price, woman. It's the price of marriage. I'm going to tell you that's always a price to pay. The Bible said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And shame on you if it's any other way this morning. The play and the price, but thirdly, the place of the woman. What's the woman's place? Proverbs 31 and 10, the place of the woman. I want to know, Pastor, what's the woman's place? All right, I'm going to show you. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Here it is, for her price is far above rubies. I looked up this word, virtuous woman. This is what virtuous means. It means strong with wisdom and grace. It's a woman who has command of her own spirit and knows how to manage other people's. She's a woman of great resolution. There's been times at our home my wife has put things together. She's a woman of resolution. She knows how to handle things in predicaments. She don't just throw her hands up and say, honey, what you gonna do? Work out some own things. We see the place of the woman. I am convinced of this. The Bible instructs us the woman is a home place. I don't believe that God ever intended a woman to fly a fighter jet. I don't believe He ever intended for her to dig over into a foxhole with a man out on foreign soil. The place of a woman is a home place. And men, I'm going to say this. Do you know what husband means? Husband. I looked that word up. This is what husband means. It means house band. It means that we keep things together. And a woman needs a home, a husband, a house band. In other words, it means getting your arms around it. A house band. The place of this woman is a home place. Now, let's look what here it says. This virtuous woman, well, the Bible tells us about her. He said, the heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her. Woman, you need to be trusted. And you shouldn't do anything that would ever make him not trust you, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Oh, is she supposed to just stay home all day? And well, no. My wife works public job. Well, sure, it's intended for them to work as us. But I'm convinced my wife's place is the home place. It's really not even down at the job. Shame on us. Look what it says. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth her field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I'll just be honest with you, fellas. I don't want their job. A woman's work is never done. Oh, they got it made. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the distaff for the spindle. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She receiveth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What are you talking about? She even picks out his clothes at times. She's got her husband looking good. Sometimes my wife says, oh, you're not wearing that. You're not wearing that, buddy. Why? Because it's a reflection on her. Boy, a virtuous woman. Now watch what the Bible says. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Some of you ladies need to get busy. I'm convinced of this, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Folks talk about retiring. I just can't fathom it. I take off work a week. And I don't like what I find with me in idle time. Well, God knew what he meant about being very much alone. I'll call Miss Renee on the cell phone. Honey, she'll say, you just called 10 minutes ago. I just want to talk to you. What are you talking? A virtuous woman is a woman with strong wisdom and grace. It's a woman who has command of her own spirit and knows how to manage other people's. I can't tell you how many times my wife has calmed me down. I can't tell you how many times my wife has ministered to me. Thank God, because he knew I needed one. Place of the woman, I'm convinced, is a home place. The Bible said in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. It's a home place. Secondly, 1 Peter 3 and 1. I feel like I'm losing you. Hang on. 1 Peter 3 and 1. It's a humble place. Ladies, I can tell you this. If you're trying to stand up eyeball, eyeball to your husband, it's not going to work. If you're trying to wear the pants, it ain't designed in the Bible. Well, my husband just won't take the lead. Well, why don't you pray and lay back and give him the chance? It's a humble place. 1 Peter 3 and 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. This word subjection, you know what that means? It means yield of the right of way. Subjection, it's a humble place. It means to submit to. Ladies, it's a helping place. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 34, here's a powerful verse. Don't know if you've ever seen it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34. Not only the place of a woman is a home place, a humble place, but it is a helping place. 1 Corinthians 7, 34. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may, there it is, please her husband.
Well, I ain't worried about if I please him or not.
Then you have the will of God. Who do you think God sent you there for? Your workmate or your husband? You ought to be pleasing him. That's exactly right. Now watch this. Ladies, he can't be harassed in business all day and by the wife all night. Study to be a helpmeet to him and never a drag on him. Seldom will a man ever be any greater than his wife will let him. A wife that is her husband's helpmeet grows as he grows is his best fortune. Listen to this. I thought this was powerful. He will not say, I fell in love, but he will say, I rose. Can I say this? It will help you more than anything this morning. Ladies, do the things which first won your husband's love. Do the things which first won his love. Why did he want to date you? You worked at it. I doubt if when he pulled up to get you in the car, you just blessed him out. I doubt it. I asked my wife, very few times do I ever run a sermon by my wife. I said, honey, what do you think about this point? Do the things that first won his love. And she said, you're right. Think about the things that drew him to you, ladies. That's not changed. Let me tell you, men's got a big ego. Boy, it is quiet. I can preach now. They love to be bragged on. And nothing will break his heart any more than to hear you bragging on somebody else's husband and you ain't said nothing to him. Well, I wish my husband was that way. Oh, really? Do you really? The pasture's always greener on the other side, ain't it? You ever seen these old cows trying to get their head across that barbed wire, getting that green grass? It may not be just what you thought it was. You ought to be doing the things today that first won his love. That's the way you keep a marriage intact. Well, I wrote this down, husbands. I didn't want to leave us out. The more you give to the home, the more it'll give to you. I'm convinced of that. Y'all look like you swallowed worm pills. The more you give to the home, the more it will give to you. And the more you are to it, the more it'll be to you. Now, help meet. It's a Bible word, help meet. This is what it means. Aid mate. Aid mate. You'll never know how many times this lady has brought aid to me. She knows me. I can't say she understands me, but she knows me. Do the things which first won your husband's love. He loves to be complimented and relied upon. Listen to this, and I close. When husband and wife first come together, they are alike only in a few points and know really little about each other. Boy, I hadn't been married long, and I said, I ain't believing this. They must study each other and see the faults and virtues of each other. They must avoid, listen. They must avoid stirring up the bad in each other and develop the good in each other. We all have faults. Expect faults. And be not surprised at finding them.